We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Salkin for Eye on the Community. We have a special guest in studio today to talk about October is Crime Prevention Month and how that impacts the district attorney's office. Jill Gregory is supervising deputy district attorney for the DA's Crime Prevention and Intervention Unit. The DA's Crime Prevention and Intervention Office has seven full-time DDAs, deputy district attorneys, each assigned areas and school districts within the county. One of their primary responsibilities is to assist school districts with combating issues of truancy and chronic absenteeism. They're also responsible for assisting with prevention education programs in their districts. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Our segment today is a continuation of addressing a very important topic, crime prevention and safety awareness tips that Jill is also going to give us some suggestions for. Before we start, I'd like Jill to introduce herself and let our listeners know a little bit more about her background and why she's chosen safety awareness as an important topic to talk about. Jill.
Thank you for having me on. I have been a deputy district attorney for 14 years. I've had a variety of assignments within the district attorney's office, but I'm particularly excited about my current assignment, which is supervising deputy DA for crime prevention and intervention. And we do have seven full-time prosecutors who are very experienced, very enthusiastic, and their whole job is to prevent crime and basically tackle the issue of crime on the front end rather than on the back end.
Well, let's jump into a couple of questions. How does fighting truancy and chronic absenteeism in schools affect a community's crime rates?
The statistics on that question are pretty startling. First of all, something around 82% of incarcerated adults are high school dropouts. High school dropouts commit a huge percentage of crime in the community, and students who don't have diplomas are about eight times more likely to be incarcerated. And this starts early. If you miss too many days in kindergarten or first grade, you're less likely to read on grade level in third grade. And if you're less likely to read on grade level in third grade, you're way less likely to graduate with a diploma when you're 18. So we like to tackle it from the beginning, kindergarten, first grade, making sure that we are addressing issues of chronic absenteeism. San Bernardino County had statistics of something along the lines of 52,000 students who were chronically absent, which means 10% or more, they were absent 10% or more of the days that they were expected to attend. So if we can attack that, it's going to have an effect on crime rates in the community.
I've been hearing these numbers for the first time. We didn't talk about that before we started recording the session. Those are staggering numbers. And you know, what kind of environments does your unit find that creates that issue of truancy or of absenteeism that maybe you could give some recommendations for the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that are listening right now that may be direct guardians of our kids?
Certainly. There's many, many different causes of absenteeism or truancy. It can be something like transportation issues, or there could be mental health issues or depression issues. It could be a bullying situation in the school. It could be just regular health problems in terms of just being consistently sick. And our seven attorneys go out and they attend the school attendance review boards.
I was going to ask, what role do your deputy district attorneys play? Maybe you can educate our listeners.
Certainly. So each district, there's 34 districts in the county, and the districts handle or facilitate things called school attendance review boards, or SARBs. And at the SARBs, which parents and their students come to when they have hit a threshold of chronic absenteeism, they come in, they meet with the district, and it's not just school personnel. It's so there's school district, child welfare and attendance personnel there. There's sometimes probation officers there, school nurses there, mental health professionals, and deputy district attorneys. And they basically come in individually. It's just the parent and the child. We talk to them about what their particular issue is. And then once we have a better understanding of why they're particularly chronically absent, whether it's a bullying situation or a mental health situation or transportation or tutoring, we are aware of all these awesome community-based organizations that can tackle those problems, and we can put them in touch with them. So it's very individualized at that level. But our attorneys also do a lot of general crime prevention education, talking to 100 freshmen about the dangers of cyberbullying or sexting or something along those lines.
It almost sounds, and I when I hear folks say, well, what are they, whoever they are, doing about that? It sounds like this particular initiative of the of this particular unit is really more about support, not punitive follow-up. Could you address a little bit of the misconceptions that are out in the community that these resources really are available and they're going on every day?
Sure. I think that's a great way to contrast it between the help versus the punitive. And there are some punitive penalties if you're not putting your kid in school, but they are absolutely a last resort. We want to help those parents along the way, every step of the way, so that we never, ever have to get to that point where we're giving them a citation or a fine or, you know, some sort of criminal offense attached to that. So our goal is to never, ever get to that point and basically make sure that the parents have what they need all along the way.
If there's a parent or a guardian listening to us right now who says, well, what do I do? Who do I contact? How do I take advantage of this? Because they're in their home and they're going, what do I do? I know I have an issue. I'm a little bit embarrassed, or I'm very embarrassed, or I'm having control issue with a child or a family member. What suggestion can you give to them on how do they start? They could have a friend or a family relative who they would like to give this information to. What would you suggest to them?
I would say initially start with the districts, because we do have DAs assigned to each district. So the districts know which DAs are assigned, and the districts have all of this information as well. And reach out, ask questions, try and join up with other community groups, something along those lines. You can also check out the DA's website. We have information on who to contact with regards to learning more about both the statistics and what we're doing to combat truancy and chronic absenteeism.
And what is the DA's website address? We'll get
okay.
That. We'll post that along with the story.
I appreciate
sure that,
that.
Our public affairs department gets that out.
If you Google San Bernardino County DA, it's first thing that comes up.
Got it. What type of community education programs are the most successful that you assist in, or that can you give us some examples of some positive outcomes from the unit?
Certainly. There are absolutely tons of programs and involvement that we have. One of the things that I wanted to mention is in the High Desert, the Citizens for Safer Communities has been instrumental in putting out a crime prevention awareness campaign with regards to showing people how tackling crime on the front end is such an important part of public safety. With regards to the programs that our office is involved, and I've already talked about our truancy programs, but there are plenty of community programs as well that we have, youth mentoring and life skill programs that we're involved in or that we assist in. For example, Project Fighting Chance, the Parent Project. We actually teach parenting skills classes to parents of at-risk youths as well. The San Bernardino County Probation Department puts on a ton of classes along those lines as well. We do the DUI education in the schools, particularly in the springtime around prom. We'll go out and talk about the consequences of DUIs, from the minor fines and license consequences to the consequences of actually killing someone.
Right.
We do presentations and a curriculum for gang resistance and intervention, which is called GRIP. And that one is a little bit unique because it starts in the elementary schools. We're not talking to middle school or high schoolers about gang prevention. We are starting with second graders, starting early on to talk about the dangers of involving yourself in a gang lifestyle.
That's both sad and great that that's taking place. Is that, how would you characterize changes over the past 5 years or 3 years or 8 years of what the unit and the resources that were available a little while ago versus the ones that are actually available today that people can take advantage of immediately?
And that's a great question. The Crime Prevention and Intervention Unit as a whole, fairly recent, recently announced. My boss, the DA, Mike Ramos, basically came at this fully from a public safety viewpoint.
Right.
That we do a great job of prosecuting individuals. We hold offenders responsible. We seek justice for victims. But if we can prevent someone from becoming a victim in the first place, we're way better off than trying to make them whole after they've lost a loved one, or have, had their house broken into, or they've been robbed, or anything along those lines. So if we can tackle some of the crime problems on the front end, that assists public safety as much as locking offenders up as well.
This isn't meant as a yes or no question. Is there a large misconception then in the general public, not specific minor areas of the public, but about what the DA's office does do? Because I think in general, before I just heard what you just said, I don't know that too many people would be able to talk about, well, I know that there are resources that are more available versus we're going to take this person to court and put them in jail.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's an important thing, I think, for residents who question governmental authorities and wonder what's going on and where are my resources going and how are we doing that. That's terrific that there's such an effort now to allocate time and resources to prevention of, because of the outcome the DA's office is looking for.
Absolutely. I think there is certainly a perception that the DA's office does what you see on Law and Order or see on television, and you go into court and you argue and you ask questions. And that is a huge part of what we do, but it's not the only part, the only thing that we do. And if we can go and teach a class to 100 freshmen on cyberbullying or sexting, and that takes an hour of our time, it saves me plenty of hours down the road.
On the other side.
Exactly. I don't have to file that case. I don't have to take that person to court, and I don't have to try and make it better for a victim who's been victimized. If I can prevent that person from becoming a victim in the first place, we're way better off.
Can you give us an example of a success story, no names, of course, of a success story for a family that may have been involved with one of your deputy DAs?
One of the things that is part of our crime prevention unit is our mock trial program. And our high school mock trial program has been in existence for decades. And it is a...
My daughter did mock trial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loved
so
it.
Something like 35 years it's been around, and it's a partnership between the district attorney's office and the county superintendent of schools. And so last year we had 75 deputy district attorneys volunteering as either coaches, which sometimes was several nights a week, or they would be scoring attorneys or judges, and they basically facilitate a mock trial program for the high school students. And what that looks like on a real life basis is, I remember talking to one of our attorney coaches who was hooked up with one of the schools. They had a number of different attorneys, and there was a kid that was on the bubble, maybe not graduating. And his friend talked him into trying out for mock trial, and kid absolutely graduated and That's just one example.
That's a wonderful story. And just a quick explanation. A mock trial is the student or the children come in and somebody plays a prosecutor and somebody plays a witness. And there's a trial that the students put on, and there's a judge who creates the courtroom environment, and the kids learn about law and order and adjudicating a case.
I think you said it better than I could have it. That's exactly what it is. They go into real courtrooms. There's a real judge on the bench. There is attorneys sitting there scoring, and they put on a trial in 2 hours. And it is it appeals to kids that are involved in drama, but it's not scripted. You have to think on your feet. You have to question your witnesses. You have to do an opening. You have to do a closing. There's motions. There's argument. The judge can be firing questions at you. And it is incredible not only to educate those students about how the legal system works, but it is phenomenal in terms of building confidence and building those life skills that will serve you forever.
So a mom or a guardian or dad could actually, if they think that their child may be on the edge or they are creating trouble or might create trouble, could say, you know, you ought to, if you want to argue and debate, you ought to get involved with mock trial.
Absolutely.
And go put yourself out in front, because there's no harm.
Right.
It's a fun event, and it challenges. That may be a way for somebody to feel relevant or have, you know, build their self-esteem or their self-awareness. Wait a second, I have a skill set that I don't. That's a wonderful tip for listeners to share with friends and family.
Right.
Can you give some examples of how these educational programs and prevention programs prevent crime?
Certainly. Like I said, we're involved in a bunch of these types of programs, but also there are a bunch of other organizations that have these programs, and we're happy to assist and come in for one day and talk about the legal consequences of whatever they've been teaching for 6 weeks, something along those lines. But again, as I said, if I can go in and teach a class on the legal consequences of cyberbullying or something that's really impacting high school
students. Social media issues,
just juvenile online crimes in general, and really communicate what the consequences of committing one of those crimes is, it can prevent someone potentially from committing that crime,
right,
creating a victim, and also messing up their own life. You don't want to have even a juvenile adjudication on your record for something along these lines, particularly a sex offense.
Right.
So if we can address that on the front end, we as a whole, as a community, as a society, we are way better off.
Can you tell us a little bit about your community partners in providing these programs?
Certainly. As I mentioned before, the school attendance review boards brings in a bunch of different public agencies, as well as the school districts. But we also, as DAs, have to be aware of all of those community-based organizations and other resources that are out in the community in order to be able to match up this student and this parent with the tutoring that they may need. And so we have to be aware of everything that's out there. And there's so many programs that are out there that's the easy part. It's not like we're struggling to find help. It's a matter of matching up that help with the students.
We're soon coming to the close of our segment. It goes pretty fast, doesn't it?
It does.
And before we do, what else would you like to share as closing thoughts with our listeners and people who are going to our link to listen to this program as an audio podcast?
I think the main thing that I wanted to talk about today is how the issues of truancy and chronic absenteeism are one concrete way to prevent crime in our communities, which means that if you're a parent or a grandparent and you have a first grader, it's really important to make sure that your kid is learning reading on grade level and attending school, because that will have consequences way down the road. If you're not a parent or a grandparent, there are so many wonderful mentoring organizations out there that you can volunteer your time to make sure that you're doing what you can to assist kids in your community into a productive and fulfilling life by going to school.
The resources really are out there, but it is a matter of taking action, taking responsibility, It's safe to pick up the phone and call the district attorney's office or any of these organizations, because these folks who are committing their lives to helping people really do want people to call. That's my sense.
100%. Absolutely. Call us, email us, check out our website.
Our special guest today for Eye on the Community has been Jill Gregory. As we mentioned earlier in the program, Jill is supervising deputy district attorney for the DA's Crime Prevention and Intervention Unit. She works with 7 full-time deputy district attorneys in this unit, and we thank you on behalf of everybody from Eye on the Community for coming in today.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.